Yeah.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Well, good morning, Renew Church. Smile real big at somebody. Say, you're the best looking thing I've seen all day. Amen. Hallelujah. Last October, started, the Lord will give us a subject very often. He said on my part, as we, what little bit we travel and go around, he began to talk to him and he said, you know, Isaiah says that darkness and gross darkness shall cover the earth. Brother Hagin would tell us, he said, things are going to get darker. And I used to ask the Lord, I wanted to know, I said, how is that? How are things going to get darker? And he said, because I had the misconception, hi, Miss Sandy, good to see you. I had the misconception that would he, if he had worse demons, would he hold them back until the end time? He wouldn't. He's cruel. If he had it in his arsenal, then how many of you know he'd get it out the day he got it? And so I said, okay, Lord, I agree with that. So then how would it, according even to Isaiah, how would it says darkness and gross darkness shall cover the earth. Then how's it going to get worse? And he said, the same way my kingdom is represented on earth, that it gets brighter. He said, I desire for my kingdom to be seen on earth brighter, but he said, I can't do it. He said, I got to have a group of people or an individual that'll yield to me that others may see it. So he said, what'll happen is there'll be more and more people that will learn to yield to him in greater measures, and you'll begin to see darkness in greater manifestations. No such thing as coming out of the closet. It's just a yielding. I'm talking about anything. You know, people talking about, well, it's fine to do this, it's fine to do that. How many of you know our safe line is the Bible? Can I hear a real good amen? Amen. God loves humanity. That was weak as branch water. God loves humanity. He wants everybody to be saved. Amen. Glory to God. So in that, he told me this. He said, I need you to teach on a subject. He said, what'll happen is the manifestation of darkness will become greater. But he said, people have to know how to keep the enemy from getting a legal case. And so in this teaching we're going to do, how many of you know this is never to put you down? This is to put you and me in a better place. Amen. And keep the devil under our feet. If you have your Bibles this morning, oh, back on the book table, there are a few books, but this one is the one that I'll be reading a little bit out of. This book here is excellent. Jesus appeared to Brother Hagin and gave him so much of this. The Triumphant Church, it mainly deals, everybody say the Triumphant Church. And the first page of it, it'll talk about the militant church, the defeated church, and the triumphant church. And it gives you explanation of what those are. The defeated church is, it depicts a body of believers who are not yet seated in heavenly places in Christ and are still battling to try to gain the victory over an enemy that has been defeated yet already by the Lord Jesus. The defeated church, the church also gives us a picture of a church which is ignorant of the facts that they are seated with Christ and that they are supposed to be reigning in life through Jesus Christ. But because they are ignorant of their position in Christ or they have never used the authority they really possess, these believers are constantly ravaged by the wiles of the devil. How many of you besides me have gone through some stuff? But how many know we don't live there? We go through some stuff, but we don't live there. Then the Triumphant Church, everybody say that's us. That is a biblical perspective of the body of Christ, seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above the powers and principalities. So as we go through this morning and then tomorrow evening, like Pastor Dan was talking about, rev up your hearers and get ready to go. You ready? All right. John chapter 10, verse 10, out of the Amplified. It reads and says, "The thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, I came that they may have and enjoy life, have it in abundance to the full, till what? Till it overflows." Now, everybody say intentions. Jesus tells us what the devil's intentions are. What are the three things that his intentions are? Steal, kill, and destroy. That is his intentions. Does God ever use the devil to purge or teach the church or an individual? Never. Never. Years ago, before I came back to God, I was in 7 automobile accidents. And one time a person I can remember, a Christian, I wasn't saved at that time, he said, Brother Ricky, I believe God's trying to get your attention. Well, you know, it's just their thinking. Are you with me? And not being mean toward them people. But they had the mentality that God wanted me. How many of you know God wants everybody? But he doesn't use calamity or the devil to get us to turn to him. And so in that, the intentions that Jesus describes, he's teaching this, John records it, and he tells us the intentions of the devil is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But he said, I have come that you may have and enjoy life. Have it where? In abundance, what? To the full, tell it what? Everybody say overflowing life. That's why Jesus come. Amen. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 through 11 out of the Amplified, Paul writes this and he says this here. If you forgive anyone or anything, I too forgive that one. And what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, has been for your sakes in the presence and with the approval of Christ the Messiah. And I'm going to stop there until this is in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 through 11, Amplified. Now, Paul says, if I forgive any person, I forgive it in the person of Christ for your sakes and for mine too. Then the next verse, he's going to talk to us about lest Satan should what? Remember? Get an advantage of us. Now, in this, it's very interesting. In verse 11, it'll bring it out. Verse 10, talking about forgiveness. Verse 11, to keep Satan from what? Now, in John 10:10, Jesus tells us the wiles of the devil, or the intentions. Paul writes here, and the word advantage means wiles and strategies. Also, the word advantage means a more favorable position. Now, according to Paul's writing, where did Jesus lead the devil after he whipped him and took the keys of death, hell, and the grave? Under the body of Christ, feet. Says so, Ephesians 1. So, what is he looking for? A more favorable position. Paul did not randomly just write, you know, just to fill up the letter to Corinthian church, but also here in Kankakee. He wrote it very specific, inspired by the Holy Ghost, and he said, if I forgive anyone, if you forgive anyone, we do it in the person of Christ, but it's not so much just for them, but it's also for me. Next verse, to keep Satan from getting an advantage over us. Now, when Paul describes all this, Jesus says the intentions of the devil is steal, kill, and destroy. If the devil come to your house and knocked on your front door, and you go answer the door, and he's standing there, and he says, hi, I'm the devil. I've come to steal, kill, and destroy. You would say, you need to get out of here. You need to get off my property right now in the name of Jesus. But what's amazing is, through subtle different things, usually the devil will never come at you head on. You remember the lady that was bowed over and could no wise lift up herself? And I think she'd been that way for many, many years. It's very amazing that the devil never jumped up when people were ministering to her and said, it's really not a bad back, it's me. Not one time. They all thought it was a bad back. And Jesus come, and I either threw a word of knowledge or the gift of healing, but he ministered to her, and all of a sudden he said, I command that spirit of infirmity to come out of you. And the Bible says she immediately stood up straight. But the devil never one time told anybody it was him. It's very amazing how many people sometimes will say, I wonder why God did that, when he didn't. But the devil will never take credit, because he wants people to be confused, thinking, why would God do that? Jesus said, if it's stealing, killing, destroying, that's the enemy. If it's life and more abundantly, that's me. So in this, if I hold grudges and unforgiveness towards someone, what will eventually happen? Satan gets a different position than where Jesus left him in my life. He gets a different position. Ephesians 1 says that he is under the feet of the body of Christ. He's wanting out from underneath there. By me holding a grudge, holding unforgiveness, I give him a different position in my life. Then people say, well, you know, the name of Jesus doesn't work. Yes, it does. Well, faith doesn't work. Yes, it does. Are you with me? Okay, now, so here in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 and 11, Paul again says, if you forgive anyone anything, I too forgive that one. Look at somebody and say, I refuse to take offense for anybody else. Don't get offended over somebody else's offense. Paul said, if you forgive them, so do I. Paul said, if you forgive them, so do I. Paul said, if you forgive them, so do I. Well, I just remember what they did to my kids. I remember what they did to my spouse. I remember what they did to my pastor. These things have to be addressed. How many of you know we're at a place that, just looking at the system that we're living in, you know, we're of the kingdom of God, but we live here on earth. How many of you know it is chaotic? It is crazy out there. Amen. You got to be led. You know, yesterday I left and I was going to go one way to come, and then there was all that stuff on 44. So I thought I'll go through Wichita and Kansas and up and come across. I chased the tornadoes and storms all day yesterday, and then a while they chased me for a while. Amen. I told Lori I was coming. I was 2 hours, 3 hours west of Decatur. And I was talking to my wife, and I got these little headsets I use when I'm driving truck and cars. And I'm talking to her, and this woman's voice comes on and says, I would recommend that you find a different route. There is a tornado ahead of you. That was last night, about 11 o'clock at night. I'm like, what? You know, people like, well, I'm redeemed. So am I, but I'm finding a different route. Amen. Amen. And, you know, just everything's just going berserk, you know, and crazy. But I mean, no, it's good to be led. Yes, it is. It's good to be led. Amen. All right, now, let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20 through 23, or 22 will be good. In the King James, Ephesians 1, we'll just see how far we go. Ephesians 1, 20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above principality, power, might, and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And then hath put all things where? Under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things. Everybody look down and say, the devil is under my feet. Tell your neighbor, the devil is under my feet. Now, let's go to Isaiah chapter 43, please. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25, 26, in the Good News, if you have it. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25 and 26. It reads and says, and yet I am the God who forgives your sins, and I do this because of who I am. Thank you, God, for doing that. I will not hold your sins against you. Again, Lord, thank you for doing that. Then it says, let us go to court. That's Isaiah 43, verse 25 and 26. Let us go to court, bring your accusations, present your case to prove you are in the right. Now, I'm going to ask you a few questions. Who is trying to get an accusation or a case against you? Devil is. Now I'm going to ask you several things here. If we have time, we'll look. 2 Timothy, it says, Paul writing says, God is the righteous judge. Remember that? What happens very often with people of God, our family, is they become confused because they said, how come God, my Father, could not protect me? And they get confused because they know good and well God is their Father and they are a part of the body of Christ. What people sometimes want with a misunderstanding of mercy is they want God to do something that is unjust. How many know good and well you're saved, you're a child of God? Then we're born again. We are children of God. We have covenant rights. We have access to all that belongs to us through Jesus. If God is just, would he ever rule on a case that was false? Never. Never. Why would the enemy look for evidence against you or me to get a case? May I now say a legal case? Paul said, in our family, the Edwards, my dad didn't, but all of his brothers who were born again, but they just slid into heaven, but they made it. Amen. Okay. They were scrappers, all of them. But they would talk about if somebody ever did them something away, they'd say, it might take a while, but I'll get them back. And stuff like that. And they would hold grudges and different things and all of that stuff. And you could tell it affected them in different areas. But the thing that God began to really talk to me last October about is he said, this stuff really needs to be cleared up. Scripturally, in a very clear, distinct way. God is for us. He is not against us. He don't want you or me hurt. Amen. And so in these things, he began to talk to me and he said, what you got upset before, and I had years ago with God about some stuff, is he said, you wanted me to almost be like a crooked judge, like get paid off and rule in your favor when the case against you was legal. And he said, if you have not asked for the forgiveness or the blood to cover it, there is still a case. Isaiah wrote, and he said, we'll go look in a minute. He said, I looked for a man, just one man, that would stand in the gap and put the wall of righteousness back up. But he said, I found them. God's purpose, God's desire was that the land and the people all be saved. That's always God's will. So, how many know the devil's out to get a case against you and me? Any way he can. But how many of you know our thing of it is people say, well, what do I have to do? How many know? Just do what the Bible says. If you get upset, how many of you get upset in traffic besides me? I have. Amen. Just yesterday coming. But I asked God to forgive me. Are you with me? As soon as I do something I'm not supposed to, I don't wait. I ask God to forgive me then for the forgiveness of the blood to cover it and wash it away. Then how many know the wall of righteousness has come immediately back up? Now, and I'll share this with you. Do you remember, and we'll read it after a while. Remember in Job 1, it says that the sons of men and sons of God came before God and Lucifer come with them. And the Lord looked at him and he says, where you been? He said, I've been on the earth walking around. And how many of you know he said, when God mentioned something about Job, he said, yeah, I've been in his place. And what did he say? Do you remember? He said, I've been around and around and around and around everything he's got, and there's a wall. This is the wall of righteousness. How many in here have never missed it and never sinned? Please do not raise your hand. We will pray for liars after church. So, how many know we need 1 John 1:9? All of us. All of us. You say, well, you know, how often do I do it? Every time you feel like what you did wasn't right. There's somebody arrayed against you that knows this thing is legal. And he's looking for a case against you or me with any opportunity to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But how many of you know we're not going to give him a legal case? And if we do something, and if we ask God to forgive us, and the blood comes, how many know if he brings it up before God, God will look at the prosecuting attorney's sheet, and there won't be nothing on there because the blood has washed it. Amen? Now, let's go a little bit further. So he says here, let's go over, if you would please, to Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 through 12 in the King James. Revelation 12, 10 through 12, please. It says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength, the kingdom of our God, the power of his Christ, for the who? Accuser of the brethren. Is that correct? How many know I'm not going to ever be on his side? Who's the brethren John's referring to? Church. People. Believers. Is that right? So he said, the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them, the church, the believer, before our God, how much? And they overcome him, how? By the blood of the Lamb, and they love not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath what? Short time. All right. Now, in this, everybody say legal case. If the devil brings up a false case, since God is a righteous judge, would he ever rule on it? Case dismissed. But if it's legal, will God have to rule on it? What if he's your father? Still has to be righteous judge. And this is what confuses people. God, this ain't right. I'm one of your children. How many of you know, you might have heard in politics or something that there was a judge or somebody that was being bought off to rule in favor of people and stuff. He was not a righteous person in that regard. How many know your father, my father, will never ever do that? Never. And sometimes people say, well, I wonder why that happened in their life. You know what? Who knows? This world is crazy. There's a devil out here. Amen. The thing of it is to make it all the way through and get to the end and go to heaven. That's the deal. Amen. As we've traveled what we do, there have been times out on I-40 going out toward the West Coast. And there, I have certain places I normally stop at. And one night, it's 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, I started to pull in there, and the Holy Ghost said, if I was you, I wouldn't. And I said, why? And there was never a word. And I could have pulled in there if I wanted to. One night, me and Sally was down around Fort Worth, and we'd been in a meeting. It had got late. We went to a place to just grab something before we went to the room, and we pulled up there, and nobody would ever come on the intercom. And finally I said, hello, is anybody there? And the lady said, sir, we just got robbed and the guy ran out the front door with a gun. If you would, please go someplace else. And we started to go in the building and we just didn't. How many know it pays to be led? When you're dealing with people that don't know God, and many are influenced by the evil one, they just soon shoot you as look at you. And you didn't do nothing to deserve it. I'm not talking about being fearful. I'm talking about being led as children of God. So, the enemy has come to the earth with what? Great wrath, correct? Now, let's go, if you would, to Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel chapter 22. We'll do this one in the NLT, please. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, NLT. And it reads and says this, I looked for someone who might rebuild the wall of righteousness that guards the land. What guards your stuff? The wall of righteousness. What guards your property? What guards your health? It's interesting that some of the things that our country has promoted, has allowed, not us. We live here. And how many know America is, that's my country. And I'm thankful to be an American. But there's certain things that our leadership has done and are doing that I really don't know. People say, well, you know, America will never fall. I don't really know the only thing I know this, the earth's going to melt. You know, there's people doing crusades to save Mother Earth. How many know? It ain't going to work. It's going to melt. But, you know, the thing of it is all of our stuff, all of your stuff, there still has a right for a wall to be around it. Even if some of the leadership have made some really bad decisions. Your stuff, the stuff you own, still ought to be able to have a wall of righteousness around it. To be protected. I look for someone who might rebuild the wall of righteousness that guards the land. I search for someone to stand in the gap in the wall so I would not have to destroy the land, but what'd God say? Now, how many of you will agree with this? Was God actually going to destroy the land, or did someone bring a case and God had to allow it but not do it? God is not the destroyer. I said God is not the destroyer. But there's somebody we know who is. It's called devil, Lucifer. In these things that I believe we are going into, how many know you and I can have victory every day? We still win. All of these things. Now, if you would, write this down, please. God is always looking for legal ways to save, deliver, free mankind. God is always looking for legal ways to free, deliver, and keep mankind. Always. Everybody say, legal ways. Now in this, go if you would, please, back here in Ezekiel 22:30. In the King James, and it reads this way, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge. Everybody, if you would, say hedge. This sounds, we'll go look at Job in a minute. That should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for what? For the land, that I should not destroy it, but what God say? But I found none. Now, let's go to Job chapter 1, verse 6 through 12 in the NLT. Pastor Dan was talking about he went to the court of heaven and got a verdict. And how many know? You see the manifestation of it. And Brother Hagin was talking about, we were actually in a meeting, and he said this publicly, so I feel free to share it. We were at Winter Bible, there on the campus. And how many of y'all remember his son-in-law, Brother Buddy? Pat's husband. His daughter, Pat. She was married to Buddy Harrison, who, of course, established the church there. And in many of the books that we read, if you'll see it, it'll say Harrison House. They published all of Brother Hagin's books. But Brother Buddy was in that meeting, and Brother Hagin of the morning would teach on prayer, and then at night it was just whatever the Lord let him do. And we're there in that meeting. Brother Buddy's there. Behind him, up where the choir loft was, us ministers and a bunch would sit during the meetings. And he was praying, and he turned, and he said, "Brother Buddy, old boy," he said, "I want you to know I did my best. But," he said, "I can't turn it." He said, "The Lord told me the case against you is stronger than the case that I'm given." Of course, you know, Miss Pat's husband, who still preaches, Miss Pat Harrison, Brother Hagin's daughter, he took off and he went home. And Brother Hagin did that in front of all of us, not in any way to embarrass his son-in-law. He was serious. He had done his best. He'd been to St. Louis at a meeting, other places, and he was trying to turn it in those morning sessions when he'd teach and then pray. But you remember Brother Hagin told a story about the guy that was a Sunday school superintendent. I think it was in Van, Texas. And he was a pumper on oil wells, and he fell down in some machinery, and they thought he was dead, and they laid him out on the road or driveway and just put a blanket on him, and because finally got his wife out there, and Doc said, "If we move him, we'll kill him." And you've heard him tell this story. And so finally his wife said after about 40 minutes, said, "Brother Hagin, don't you think he ain't dead yet? Do you think we can move him?" He said, "Well." So he talked to the people, and they said, "Well, he ain't, you know, he's still alive. We'll try." And he got him to the hospital, and Brother Hagin was in the hospital room. And he said as long as he was awake, sitting in his room, everything was fine. And he dozed off, and the nurses come tearing in because he had passed. And he got him back. And he did this about 3 or 4 times. And so when the man finally come back, he said, "Brother Hagin," he said, "when I went up before Jesus that one time," he said, "the Lord said, you're going to have to go back." He said, "I don't want to go back." He said, "Well," he said, "you're going to have to." And he said he took his arm and he did a curtain. And he said, "I could hear Brother Hagin saying, Lord, I'm not going to let him die. If I need him," he went through a whole list of stuff like Pastor Dan did. He said, "he's my best tither. He helps me at the church more than anybody else. He's a Sunday school superintendent. He is the best member I've got in that regard. And Lord, if I need him, you need him." And the Lord said, "Okay, your case is stronger than the case against him." And sometimes when you teach some of this stuff, because of the not understanding spiritual things, the body of Christ gets kind of weird. How many know this is not weird? It's just simply, is it legal? Is it not? Is it scripturally solid or is it not? It's just that simple. So Brother Hagin got him back in our church in Silsby, Texas. There was a gentleman that had been in prison. He'd got out, got to come into church, straightened up, did great, different things. And then after about 7 years, because of great increase in finances and stuff, he fell, got back into some stuff, got upset over a bunch of stuff, started attacking the church, different things. And the enemy got a legal case against him. Well, you go to God and you said, "God, what about this?" And the Lord will tell you, yeah, that's why he said, "Come, let us plead together, see if you can give me a reason to not be or let this case go." So in these things, there's understanding here. There were ladies and also Sister Billy Brim. We're really good friends with her. She's taught them how to pray. They would come to our church. We would pray. She taught some of our ladies some different things about how to get into this stuff and to actually go before God concerning a case. I've done it for a couple of my kids. I had a daughter that went to prison over drugs. And I pled the case. Different things. Then there's been some cases that the case against them was stronger than the case that I was pleading. Lord, they're one of yours. Lord, they are a child. And he says, I realize that, but he says, they've never done nothing to help the body of Christ Actually, they've come after it. They've been offended. They hurt. They try to tear stuff up. And he said the case the enemy has against them is stronger than the case you're trying to present. And people get confused because they thought, well, they were a Christian. Right. How many of you know the enemy, he don't care if you go to heaven. He just wants you out of here. If you're already saved, he can't stop you from going to heaven. But your earthly ministry will stop when you leave here. Look at somebody and say, we need you. Tell somebody else, we need you. So, did I ask you to go to Job? No. Would you like to go to Job? Okay. On the way to Job, would you stop off at 1 John 1, verse 7 through 9, on the way to Job? Job or Job, whichever way. It's not like on the way there, but it's in your Bible. You don't have to go out of your way in the blocks or nothing driving. 1 John 1, 7, it says this, and King James will be fine. 1 John 1, 7, but if we walk where? In the light, as he is in the light, we have one with another. Now, there's a whole message in that, but this morning I don't have time because I'm teaching this in about cases. How should I walk towards you that's in the light? How should I treat you? Preferring you. Being kind to you. Being merciful to you. All of these things are wrote in there so that it's starting to lead up to verse 9. So walk, if we walk, if, everybody say if. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we fellowship one with another and cleanses us. Verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we have deceived ourselves and the truth's not in us. Verse 9. If we our sins, he is, that's right, helping, and from, everybody say righteous. What causes unrighteousness? So anytime you or I confess something that is qualified as a sin, what happens when the blood comes? We're forgiven, we're cleansed. There is no unrighteousness. The wall comes back up. You know, people have told me before, there's been times when I've had rough days that I have to ask God several times in a day to forgive me. Dealing with people, and you meet some people, you're like, I did not start this, but I know how to finish it. Are you with me? Just rude and, you know, and different things. And you'll be like, what? What? You know, I'm just that kind of attitude today. Yeah, you. But I mean, no, then you got to check yourself. I'm like, I can't act that way. Amen. If I hit you, I'm going to have to ask God, forgive me. but in this, we want the wall up. The devil wants the wall. Okay, now let's go to Job. Job or Job, however you say it. Job chapter 1 verse 6. And do you have that in the NLT? Job chapter 1 verse 6 through 12 NLT. One day the members of the heavenly court came to present themselves before the Lord. Everybody say heavenly court. And who? Accuser, Satan, come with him. I don't know how all that happened, but it did. Right? It's in the Bible. Verse 7. Where have you come from? The Lord asked Satan. Satan answered, Lord, I've been patrolling the earth, watching everything that's going on. I don't know if you've ever heard us teach about familiar spirits, but Psalms 27:11? If you got a King James Version Bible, where it says in the Greek, it'll say, my enemies which observe me. Now I want to ask you a question. The Lord helped me with this years ago. I didn't understand. Is it Psalms 27:11? What's it say? 27:11. Just King James. Uh-huh. And then in the Bible it'll say GR, and in the margin it'll say, my enemies which observe me. For Psalms 27:11. Uh-huh, and most of them will, but if you've got a Bible and you look, it'll say GR, and look in the margin, it says, my enemies which observe me. Now I ask you, who's observing you? It's a familiar spirit. With discerning of spirits, the Lord's helped me with some things. And he said, you have to understand, the enemy will assign. He said, if I've assigned an angel to you when you were born, and he did, he said, the enemy will assign one to follow you. His assignment is never to touch you or to harm you, but he is to become very familiar with you. That's why he is called a familiar spirit. Saul talked about that through the prophet Samuel the prophet. He said he will watch and he will take notes. Long lines at Walmart is a trigger. So you'll go into Walmart, ain't nobody up front, and you'll do all your shopping, you finally get done. It's almost like everybody heard over the intercom, Mary's fixing to check out. If you would please, everybody run to the front, fill up every register before she gets there. And you get up there, and it's like, when I come in, there ain't nobody up here. Or they all decide to go on break. Now you have to check yourself out or something. But it's just like, and you're like, why does this keep happening? Because it still works. And this is usually, if my wife was here, she says, and that's why in traffic, for Ricky, it still works. You ever be run down the highway, it's a 4-lane, maybe even a 6-lane, and all of a sudden, car ahead of you's been following this other car, and they thought, it's almost like they got a beeper. Beep, beep, Ricky's coming. You need to pull out in the fast lane and get beside the vehicle and do not go no faster. Drive that way for miles. And Sally, the reason she said she looks at her iPad is she just can't take it. You know, flash your lights a couple times, gentle like, hello. And then you run out there. You remember that little deal? They grind the deals out, let you know you run off the road. So you ease over past the line so that they will definitely know you're behind them. Hello, I'm back here. I'm trying to get around you. She's like, still working, ain't it? But they become so familiar with you. And the triggers that all of us have had, maybe some like me still got, it's almost like this stuff is planned and set up. And all the devil's doing is looking for a legal case. Everybody say familiar. So the Lord said they are sent on assignment to follow you and take notes and become familiar with you. They know if you deal with this. They know if you get discouraged. They know if you do this. He said he will keep setting those deals up as long as they work. So, Job 1, we'll go back there. We'll read some more. The Lord asked Satan. Satan answered, I've been patrolling the earth, watching everything that's going on. Then the Lord asked Satan, have you noticed my servant Job? How many know the Lord wasn't like, would you please jump on Job? Yeah. No, he had been looking. God knew it. God said, he is the finest man in all the earth. He is blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God, stays away from evil. Satan replied to the Lord, yes, But Job has good reason to fear God. You have, now y'all need to read all this to me. You have what? Satan replied, yes, but Job has good reason. You have what? Now, I need you to say something or think about this. This was not God's doing. This was Job's doing. This is Job's doing. Because God just qualified certain things. Then the enemy verified it. But God said he's blameless. He does this, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And there's reason there's different steps here. For time this morning where we're going, we'll just touch this part. You have always put a wall of protection around him and his home and his property. And you've made him prosper. Huh. And everything he does, look how rich he is. The wall of righteousness is the hedge. The wall of righteousness. When I get ticked off in traffic, and people say, well, you need to change your confession. You deal with your stuff, I'll deal with mine. Amen. Amen. But when I get ticked, I don't let it go until I start encountering difficulty. I repent once I cool off. And I ask for the cleansing power of the blood. People say, well, how many times you do it? As many as I need. What happens is the devil will try to convince people, well, if you was really a Christian, you wouldn't need to be repenting all the time. He is looking for a different position and an entrance in. Remember when Jesus' disciples come and he's teaching a lesson, Matthew 18, but it's also in Luke, and he said, don't be offended and don't take an offense. And then he's talking about if thy brother trespass against thee and turns and say, I'm sorry, then forgive him. And you remember they said, oh, Lord, what? Increase our faith. Well, Matthew says, I say not 7 times 7, but I say 70 times 7. Now, the Lord asked his disciples to forgive somebody on the same exact thing 490 times in one day. That's kind of like, help us, Lord, help us increase our faith. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If God asks that of you and me, then I have a right to ask that of him. So I at least got scripture to do the same exact stupid thing 490 times in a day. And if I repent every time, God is obligated to forgive me, to cleanse me, and it be gone. Every day. But Brother Ricky, I mean, really, in the same day, you better know it, honey, because the wall needs to stay up. I don't know what all is going to happen in America. I hear people predicting stuff, which most of it's fear-based. Thank God for being led. I know this. I got scripture to back up everything Sally and I have, all the properties, all the traveling, that there ought to be a wall around us and all of our stuff. I'm not responsible for the rest of the country. I can pray for this country. It's my home. It's where I was born. I like America. But how many of you know our stuff here has a right for a wall to be around it? And I'm learning more and more how to keep it that way. So, look over at somebody and ask them, say, what's the enemy familiar with you about? And tell them, please, I don't want to know. I don't want to know. But you have to understand, everybody's like, well, you know, I get offended easy, like me, traffic. Other stuff, you know, I get ticked about long lines. I get ticked off with ignorant people. A different. I wasn't looking for amen, sister, but that's okay. Amen. It's all right. Hey, we're family. Amen. You know, I mean, dear God, we are people. that are forgiven. Seven of us are. We are people that are forgiven. Man, you know, this, you know, the enemy just like, oh, nobody should ever know. Honey, I'm pretty sure they probably already do if they've been around you very much. Amen. The thing of it is I'm keeping the wall up. How about you? Smile at somebody and say, I'm keeping the wall up. Whew. All right. Did we read all of that? Let's read verse 11 and 12, and we'll finish this part. You've always kept a wall of protection around him. But reach out, take away everything he has. He will surely curse you to your face. Verse 12. All right, you may what? Now I'm going to stop for just a second. Brother Hagin would tell us these stories about pleading different ones' case. His mama, if you've read after Brother Hagin or listened to him, his mother, who had married a man, her parents and family said, don't marry him. She said, I'm in love with him. I'm going to. Sure enough, he was abusive, different things. Left her with five? Pat, which his daughter was named after. I think there were five of the kids. Left her to raise them. She felt guilty because she couldn't go ask for help because they all told her don't marry. So she had a mental and nervous breakdown and destroyed her health, different stuff. And so at, let's see, she died at 80. Somebody deduct 15 from that. 65. At 65, she was very close to leaving the earth. Brother Hagin went to God. And he said, concerning my mother, when we were little bitty kids, she worked and done everything she possibly could, had a mental and physical breakdown. She made sure all of us had something to eat, different stuff. And he said, finally, me and Miss Aretha are at a place that we can kind of start helping her financially. And he said, I'm going to ask you, like the prophet did when he said it to Hezekiah, I want 15 more years. And the Lord said, it'd be better if she come home now. And he said, I'm going to ask you for 15 more years. He said, I've obeyed you. He went through a whole list, a case. And God said, all right, when she turns 80, she'll come home. We have to learn in the body of Christ how legal this thing is. Many of the old-time prayers and different ones that taught this, Phil Halverson and different ones, they've all been gone. Mr. Billy is about the only one, Brother Copeland, that were around some of the older ones. When she turned 80, Brother Hagin said, she left. In that meeting at Winter Bible Seminar, he said, Brother Buddy, old boy, he said, I did my best. But the case against you, he's a minister. Case against you is stronger than the case that I'm pleading. There were several things that he taught us along this line. There's been a few things that we've encountered. In these things, everybody say legal. Legal cases. Don't you ever feel condemned or guilty because you've had to ask God several times in a day to forgive you. The reason that pressure of guilt or condemnation is there is to try to get you to not ask God to forgive you. Then here's something legal. Don't you dare feel guilty. I'd celebrate every day that I have access to 1 John 1:9 in the blood. It's there for us to use. The Lord loves you so much and appreciates everything about you and your family. Don't you ever let the enemy tell you anything else. Hallelujah. Glory to God. People sometimes say, well, I'd really like to do better. Well, the key is stay alive long enough and get there. Are you with me? Amen. But listen. What happens to us when we leave here? We go to heaven because we saved. Amen. All right, let's just go to a few more. Go if you would. Can y'all take just a little bit more? Okay. Go to Job chapter 9, verse 32 through 33 in the Amplified, please. How many of y'all want to meet God? Sure we do. Where do you want to meet him at? Rapture. Where else? I do not want to meet him in court. And Job did. We will not be at the great white throne judgment. Remember, that's for people, and they're looking at the books, and their names are not written. How many know we be at the marriage supper of the Lamb? Okay? All right, Job 9, 32, I believe it is. In the, or 30, no, 32. Job 9, 32, Amplified. For God is not a mere man as I am, that I should answer him, that what? I don't want to go there. I don't. I do not. Verse 33. There is no umpire between us. That's a go-between. Of course, it also means advocate. And you and I have one. His name is Jesus. There is no go-between us. Job said this because Jesus hadn't come. Who might lay his hands upon us. I wish that there were. Look at somebody and say, we do have an advocate. A go-between. His name is Jesus. Is that correct? So, look at somebody and say, I don't want to meet God in court. I want to meet him in the air. Amen. I don't want to meet him in court. I want these cases to be thrown out as illegal. You guys sure do listen good. Make it easy. Thank you for helping. Go to Job chapter 30. And let's look at verse 20 through 24. Do you have the Message Bible? Okay. Job chapter 30, verse 20 through 24. I shout for help, God, and get no answer. This is Job, y'all. This is some stuff has happened. I stand to face you and protest. Yeah, would y'all help me read it? And what? This is what Job's saying to God after some stuff had happened in his life. He turned into my tormentor. This is what he's saying to God, y'all. You slapped me around. You raised me up. And then? Is that all of it? Through 23. Uh-huh. Then what's the very last thing? Next one. What? But that part, what did I do to deserve this? Job said, I wish I could have a meeting with God. And God shows up and there's a whirlwind and God steps out of it. And if we have time tomorrow night, we'll look. And Job says, I think I've spoke out of turn. And now I will place my hand over my mouth. And God said, Job, I'm here to answer all your questions. And we'll look at it in Job 40 tomorrow, I'm sure. And he said, but before I answer these questions about what did you do to deserve this, you say I raise you up to knock you down. You say I'm turned into your tormentor. Before I answer all of those questions, I have a few questions I'd like to ask you. Do you know how the planets all rotate and don't crash into each other? Oh, I see you don't. Let me ask you another one. And he starts through this whole process. He said, do you know how the sea can only go so far and it has to stop? Oh, I see you don't. Let me ask you another. And he goes through this whole list of stuff. And then he says at the end of it, and you're upset with me because you got judged. And you're mad at me because you think I did it. you wanted me to take a legal case and divert it because you serve me. I am just. Anytime you or I do something and we repent, how many know? It's gone. I said it's gone. It's under the blood. Job 40, and this will be our last one. Job 40, verse 4 through 10 in the Amplified. Job chapter 40, verse 4 through 10. I've had God upset at me before. I don't know if you have, over the way I was acting. Sister Billy taught us something out of Exodus. Moses said, whatever's going on, guys, stay on the Lord's side. Even if you don't know what's happening, stay on God's side. Don't ever accuse him. And I did. I accused him of doing some killing and some stuff concerning my mother and some other stuff. The enemy was laughing at me because he knew I'd put my own self in a really bad place toward God. I thought God could have done something, but wouldn't. I didn't know that because I had permitted it, heaven has to. Can somebody look at Matthew 18, maybe 18:19 in the Amplified and tell me what that says? And then Matthew 16, but Matthew 18:19, Amplified. And then we're finding a place to stop. Matthew 18:18, Amplified. Somebody have that? I think it reads Matthew 18:18, Amplified. Truly I tell you, 18:18, Amplified. Truly I tell you, whatever you, me, everybody say me, forbid and declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already forbidden in heaven. Whatever Ricky permits in Ricky's life, heaven has to. Job chapter 40, verse 4 through 10, Amplified. Job says, behold, I am a small account and vile. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand upon my mouth when God stepped out of the whirlwind. I have spoken once, but I will not reply again. Indeed, twice have I answered, but I will proceed no further. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind, saying, look what God said. This is how he's answered me before when he was upset with me. What did he say? And I was having a pity party. He said, why don't you gird up your loins now like a man? You accused me of certain things. And you had no idea that all of this is legal. I didn't do this to you, son. You're one of mine. And people shake their fists at God like, how come you let this happen? When we don't know, how many know? Listen, we've all been in a tough place before. But look at two or three folks say, God loves me. And I love him. Even if I don't understand the thing I've finally just figured out, I'm going to stay on the Lord's side. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I tell you what. We'll stop right there. Let's stand up. Pastor Dan gave us permission to go on. I appreciate that. And thank you all for being so gracious. Father God, this morning, none of this is to hurt us. This is to help us. Our Father God is such a precious Father. He loves us. He wants everything that he said belonged to us to have. The earth is a dark place. It's not run by God. The earth is being run by Lucifer. The church is run by God in the earth. So, Father, we thank you. Here, in the midst of all of this, that's why even David wrote in Psalms 91, all the things, the error by day, the pestilence, the plagues, this and that and the other. He understood the enemy hates humanity because we're made in the image and likeness of God. He don't care how he does it, but his desire is to steal, to kill, and destroy from all humans. Made in the image and likeness of God. Thank God for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that we can show other people that there is a safe place. It doesn't mean that we ourselves won't have things happen, but there is help for the believer. We're so thankful. We're so grateful. Father, I'm grateful to you, sir. Openly, I confess, when I was so upset with you years ago and I made accusations against you, just like Job, that I thought you could have or you should have, and I didn't know that there was a legal case against me. It was legal, and I wanted you to do something illegal, but you are a just Father. You are a righteous Judge. But it doesn't mean I have to pay for all of the craziness that I've done. You made a way for it to be wiped away. Yeah. Repent and ask for the cleansing power of the blood. Yeah. And I've got a right to ask for the same thing 490 times in one day for forgiveness. Yeah. Glory to God forevermore. And you will gladly do it. So we give you, sir, all praise, all glory, and all honor. Thank you. Thank you, Father God, for it. Concerning children, I don't care how old they get, they steal you kids. And I know as they get older, more responsibility comes to them on decisions. But whoever that is in here that's been struggling with some stuff, one of the quickest ways is the Ephesians prayer. Instead of, and I know, you know, we can ask God, God, concerning my child, da-da-da-da-da. But the quickest way is, God, let the eyes of their understanding be enlightened, that they might know. The final decision comes with them. But they need to be able to see with clarity to make a intelligent decision. So we thank you for it. We give you all glory and we give you all honor and all praise. In the wonderful holy name of Jesus, we thank you, Father. Amen and amen.